Please have a welcome for the producer, Rhys Thomas. Demotition, written for the screen, directed and produced. Please have a welcome, Gareth Maxwell Roberts.
Maybe to start up with this, what was first? The idea to make the Demotition as a script, and then you got the idea to bring it to the movie as a 3D movie? Or there was the idea to make a 3D movie from a different point of view, and then you wrote a story about it?
It kind of, they both kind of evolved really at the same time. I mean, the idea for the film was kind of gestating in my brain, and it was starting to kind of, kind of come together in terms of the kind of character and the world. And at that point, that was probably about nearly 4 years ago, I was invited to see a screening of U2 3D. And I really didn't know what to expect because it was the first kind of digital 3D film that, that was available to see on screen. So I went along thinking that I'd go for 10 minutes to look at the technical side and have my curiosity satisfied and leave, because I'm not a big U2 fan. And so I went along, but immediately I was kind of blown away by it and kind of really taken on this journey and found myself engaging with Bono and U2 in a way that I never would have imagined. And it kind of opened up the kind of, it opened up or suggested, sort of a whole kind of range of possibilities for U2, for 3D. And at that point, this was pre-Avatar, pre any of the big visual effects movies. And so I wasn't really thinking about it in terms of visual effects. I was just thinking of it in terms of how we could use 3D to kind of really pull us into the world of the Mortician. So, the script kind of developed from that point, really.
Could you go more deeper in it to tell us about what was more than it's about the heart, the soul of 3D, and how you worked on it to bring this into this?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that the 3D is a kind of, it's in its infancy right now, but, its possibilities go way beyond, spears flying out the screen and piranhas snapping out the screen and spiders running at you. It's, to me, it's as important as, the advent of colour and the advent of sound. I think that, finally we're able to do what we've been trying to do for 100 years, which is make two-dimensional images 3D. I mean, the whole language of film is about creating depth and perspective to, in a flat two-dimensional image. Now, 3D has finally arrived that allows us to physically do that and allows to perceive images on the screen in the same way as we do in real life. So with this film, we were really just more concerned in, using it to draw the audience into this world and to engage the audience in a way that perhaps they wouldn't become engaged if they weren't, just watching it in 2D. I mean, that's really the idea behind it.
Rhys, you can add a bit on it, because actually this is a movie with an independent budget, but it's on 3D, and the challenge about working on that.
Sure. I mean, I guess the budget increased with the addition of 3D, but I think from our point of view, we wanted to kind of add something to the film, and for me, obviously being in a market like this, wanting to for it to be attractive to distributors around the world and believing in 3D, I just thought it was worth the extra money and obviously the extra effort to kind of try and pull all that finance together, really.
Yeah, the whole of it, as you see you can see there's a lot of companies in it, so yeah. It must be a whole rush to bring them all together.
Yes, sure. I mean, I think we're very lucky, really. Belladonna, Film and Music Entertainment, Molinaire, I mean, these are all companies, all experienced filmmakers that really kind of got behind the idea from the beginning, backed us, believed in us, and, we used a lot of their experience and their credibility to, to push the whole project forward and essentially to get this film made, yes.
So as far as we have a wonderful audience, are there any questions to our guests?
Was the story written around your main character, and was clear who's going to play it before you actually should? the movie?
No, I mean, we did it the kind of classic independent way. You know, we wrote the script. The script was written, and we went out into the marketplace to attract an actor. So it certainly wasn't written specifically for Method Man. No, I mean Method Man, became attached to the project, as the project evolved. He was an interesting choice. But I mean, casting this kind of film for this kind of budget, certainly right now is, the temptation is always, to chase after the big name, and it very rarely works for films at this scale. Now, so we worked with a casting director called Eve Battaglia from New York, who's like the queen of the independent scene in independent casting in New York, and she, she'd previously had some discussions with Method Man's manager, and he's done a lot of films and a lot of TV, but he tends to play a certain kind of role, which is a role that that's suggested by the fact that he's a musician and he's a rapper, and he was really looking for a role that was completely different from anything that he'd done before, and something that a character piece that he really wanted to throw himself into, and we sent him the script. He liked it, and we had a meeting, and the meeting was great because we had a series of meetings, but the first meeting was great because he'd obviously read it and really understood it and came with a lot of really interesting ideas which were kind of in sync with my ideas, and it just seemed a perfect fit. And I think that he came with a level of commitment that kind of matched our level of commitment. He really wanted to throw himself into it, and it kind of, it mattered as much to him as it does to us. And I think, making films at this level, that's kind of key. That's really, why we made the decision to go with Method Man. And, we're very pleased with what he did. I think he did a, very soulful and sensitive portrayal of the character, which is very different from anything that he's done before. I mean, the answer's really, how much time should it have taken and how much time did it take? I mean, the fact is we were working to a set amount of money. That set amount of money was being stretched by the fact that we were doing it in 3D. And, shooting, independent films in the States, but shooting them as union films, I mean, there's only a certain number of days you can buy with your money. So, we had 26 days that we need, to shoot it in, and 32 different locations. And, that's what we did it in. If we were shooting it in 2D, we would have used those 26 days up happily. What it did do, it kind of limited the amount of coverage that we could, that we could get on each scene. But then that in itself kind of forced us to be a little bit more creative in what we were doing. So we would, we would design shots not only to kind of, work in 3D, but to combine, three or four shots that we would, normally have shot it with if we're shooting in 2D. But I think that, that ended up creating more interesting sequences and more more interesting style. So it's like any of these things, I mean, if you try and make independent films and try and make them add up, they just never add up, they just don't. So, getting these things to screen is just a matter of almost trying to do the impossible and, navigate yourself through a series of problems. And that's what we did. But I mean, shooting in 3D was an amazing experience, and I'd love to do it again. And it just, having done it once, it just throws up a whole host of possibilities that we couldn't explore in this because of the limitations. And hopefully next time, we'll be able to expand upon that and do more with it. But I think that's ultimately what our, as independent filmmakers, our only currency really is our kind of willingness to experiment and our willingness to take risks that studio films or bigger films won't take, and that's the spirit that we went into it, and that's still the spirit that we kind of come out with it with, for better or for worse.
Messerman told me after the first screening here in Berlin that it was a tough job for him seeing it on screen. Did he went in the end well with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult for people to watch themselves on screen, and watching himself up there in front of 750 people at the kind of, you know, its world premiere was a, you know, it's a tough one. But I mean, he calmed down afterwards, and he seemed very pleased. I mean, he's not used to seeing himself like that, you know, and he was very conscious not to watch material when we were, you know, when we were shooting, because he just wanted, you know, it was all about him kind of really immersing himself in the character and kind of, you know, playing a character part. So he did, you know, he didn't really want to be aware of what he was doing. So, you know, he didn't watch anything whilst we were shooting. And of course, he didn't see any of the edits. So it really was the first time that he'd seen himself as this character, was when he was sat there watching it with everybody else. So, you know, I think it was quite an experience for him, but he seemed very pleased. He seemed to be, very pleased with what he did, and he was quite, he stuck around for a couple of days. So, that's a